Mike Forsyth is a reporter for the New York Times, based in Hong Kong and focusing on China. He tweets at Peking Mike, and he joins RN Drive this week to lead us on our regular weekly guide through the week on Twitter. Mike, welcome to the program. First of all, can I ask you about the particular difficulties of being on Twitter and covering a country like China where Twitter is blocked?
It is difficult. I wish Twitter weren't blocked in China. We would have a lot more information, and likely tens of millions of more people in China using Twitter. As it is, a lot of people use software, proxy servers to get over the Great Firewall, and so we're seeing more and more Chinese people getting on Twitter and using it, and it's really an important source of information. Now, obviously, they have their own social media in China as well, and those are very popular, but they are censored, and people are getting increasingly careful about what they say online.
Can you talk to me about that change in behavior online that is effectively created by that feeling of being watched?
So China itself, has their own social media platforms. Some of them are quite ingenious and in many ways superior to Twitter, and some great features. And it was really, really active and booming until a couple of years ago. And then in late 2013, the government started cracking down on some of the big Twitter stars, they call them the big V's. And this, when I say Twitter, I mean, I'm talking about the Chinese version of Twitter. This is called Weibo, which means, all it means is microwave, basically, a small post, in Chinese. And so people got nervous. People started were watching TV and saw some of these big V's confessing to crimes, confessing to spreading rumors, and it put a real damper on it. And so some of the biggest social media mavens in China, some of the smartest, savviest people have really gone quiet. And so that form of social media has really not quite as useful as it used to be, although people always find other ways. Telegram, the instant messaging service, is very popular now among kind of the Twitterati in China. So there are, if one way gets blocked, people will find another way to get online.
Does the ban mean you have to restrict your Twitter activities or censor your own tweets? How does it affect you as a reporter?
Absolutely not. No. As a foreign reporter, I'm really in a privileged and blessed position. I am not subject to censorship by China whatsoever. The Chinese know that. They would love to censor me. They would love to censor foreign reporters. And obviously, Australian reporters are among the most aggressive in China. So we're really privileged, very fortunate. Unlike our Chinese counterparts, who are some of the finest journalists in the world, who really cannot report on so many of the important issues going on in China now.
Now, you also have chosen another item for us, which is Donald Trump's pledge to ban Muslims from the U.S. How has this played out in the Twitter sphere?
It's amazing. I mean, I'm an American abroad, and so it's just fascinating to watch this going on in the United States, and it just completely dominates my Twitter feed, and the New York Times, for that matter. It just has so much coverage about what Donald Trump said about banning Muslims from entering the United States. It seems to have created a huge uproar around the world too. So it's fascinating to watch this play out as an American abroad. Watching from the outside in.
What sort of a sense do you get about how the Chinese view Trump and his, continued status as the Republican frontrunner?
Yeah, it's really of two minds in China. In some ways, Trump's position would not seem outlandish at all in China. Now, of course, China is not a country of immigrants, but it is a country that has 20 million Muslims already, and there is an ongoing campaign against at least half of those Muslims, people of Uyghur descent, ethnic Turkic people, that's ongoing, that's stoking a lot of resentment and a lot of violence. that, you know, hundreds of people are being killed every year out in Xinjiang. Very little reporting on it. But to get back to Trump, some of those hardline attitudes he takes don't seem that unusual to some people inside of China. It seems pretty common sense to them. On the other hand, the Chinese government has stated kind of elliptically, but that you know, in keeping with the global stance, that people should not discriminate against immigrants and refugees based on religion. So that's the Chinese government's position.
Let's move now to your final item, which is COP21. Now, we know the COP21 hashtag has been trending pretty much since the talks began. It's the thing if you're on Twitter. If you're in the Twitter sphere, this is, if you haven't used this hashtag, use it, people. It's very serious. What's your take on the climate summit, especially as it relates to China?
Yeah, so you'll be reading, you know, if you check the New York Times website, hopefully in a few hours, there's going to be something coming out for me about China and that. And I'll be tweeting a lot about that and using that COP21 hashtag. But China really, their cooperation is so important. And there is, you know, some skepticism out there on how serious China is about cutting its coal use, and not so much in China, although that's very important, but also its efforts abroad to build coal-fired power plants in the developing world. China has so much excess capacity, engineering capacity, and they are building these coal-fired plants all over the developing world and adding, you know, over 100 gigawatts of new capacity, which negates so many efforts by other countries. So this is a big issue. It's been a big issue in Paris, financing of clean power or dirty power in this case. And obviously Australia also plays an important role in this. And I hope in Australia this is getting a lot of scrutiny, which is the massive coal exports that Australia is you know, sending all over the world, enabling people and making it easier for them to build coal-fired power plants. I don't know how that's playing in Australia, but I hope it is a big issue.
It certainly is a big issue. I can guarantee you that it is very much on the agenda here. Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Patricia.
And that's Mike Forsyth. He's a reporter for the New York Times. He's based in Hong Kong, and he focuses on China in his reporting, and he's a prolific tweeter. If you don't follow him, he tweets at Peking Mike. You're listening to RN Drive. It's time now for The Drawing Room.